The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the official Corian FC podcast on what has been not so much a quiet week, but quite a busy week for the club, probably a momentous week for the club in many ways. But we will come on to all that very, very shortly. First of all, just like again to thank the podcast sponsors or good friends at the Lodge Hotel in Coleraine. Just if you're ever looking for a stylish bar just to catch up with friends, why not pop into Vibes Bar for delicious cocktails, a wide range of gins or wines and craft beers. And even better, there's live music every Saturday night from 9:30 p.m. So if you're lucky, you might see Johnny McNabb there on a Saturday night. But anyway, Johnny, welcome along to the podcast. As I said at the start, quite a busy week for Corian.
Yeah, it has been, Damien. Sort of the Dungannon result and the anguish going home, you don't really think about it. It's been that busy. So, yeah, we spoke last week about how busy it was going to be, and it's ended up being that way. And obviously, look, we've Linfield as well, and we've a busy month coming up. So, it just all seems to be all systems go. But sure, would you rather have it any other way?
And, you know, you're talking about matters on the pitch, and I'm thinking it's just been as busy off the pitch. And I'm delighted to say on this week's podcast, we have the man who has been at the centre of most of that. I'm talking about Corian Football Club Chairman Colin McKendry. Colin, been much happening this week?
It's been a busy week. It's been a busy few weeks, indeed a couple of very busy months, where everybody's thinking that football's not happening. There's an awful lot happening behind the scenes at Corian Football Club, and obviously not only in what's happened last night with the investment, but a lot of stuff off the pitch as well, Damien, as you well know, that goes on during the non-playing days, we'll call it, you know.
For anybody that has been living maybe under a rock for the past week or so, what we were actually referring to was the decision, the Friends of Corian Football Club, they're the shareholders of the club, the owners of the club, if you like, and that their AGM on Tuesday night, they took the very momentous historical decision to, I suppose, give their backing to an ambitious proposal, Colin. A couple of investors bringing money into the club and heralding a potential exciting new future for the club. Maybe you're the chairman of the club. I think I read somewhere you're on record saying, was it an emotional night for yourself? I mean, can you just explain just a little bit of maybe the background and how the club has got to this point, Colin?
Yeah, Dennis. It was it was emotional because you get an attachment to things and then all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, well, likely we're letting go of this to a degree, but we're not really, because the investors want the current board with others to run the football club for them. This has been going on now for about 3 months with when I was first contacted. And in fact, they weren't the only investors who wanted to get involved in Coleraine. And it's like anything, it's waiting in a bus. You wait and one and two comes along. Well, inside 2 days, 3 days I think it was, I had contact from two potential investors in Corian Football Club. Not Ranald and Patrick as separates, but together, and another investor who has gone elsewhere within the Irish League. And I have to say, it was a bit, I was blown away, Damien, to be honest with you. Like, because you're trundling along thinking you're doing okay here. You're thinking nobody's too interested in Coleraine Football Club. You look at Larne and you look at Linfield and you look at the, you know, Glentoran with envy, I have to say. And you say, look, how can we get there? And then all of a sudden it comes along and there's two people, or two interested parties, I should say. And I took a day or two to get used to it. But I then went to the board and said, look here, you're not going to believe this, but we've had people inquiring about the club. And I think that was probably the reaction I got from them the board as well. But we did investigate it, and we did we asked the people over, and both parties did come over, and they were blown away by Korean Football Club, I have to say, and how we were doing their business and the potential that we have as a football club, both on and off the pitch. And then we, as a board, done due diligence on both, or due diligence on both, and the board made a recommendation to go with the current people who we brought forward to the Friends of Korean, and his last night in the historic vote, choose to go and share the sale, transfer the share to the new investors. So it's been busy. It has been emotional. It's been very intense. But I have to say, hopefully it's all going to be worthwhile.
It is. When you put it in those terms, Colin, as you say, to quote yourself, you're trundling along as a club and everything, you know, and you're doing your best and you're working hard, and then potential investors come on the scene and following the likes of the Larns and the Glentorns, etc. I mean, what is it at this moment in time that would make the Irish League so attractive to potential investors? What is it? I mean, is it that people are looking in on it, thinking that there's untapped potential within the league, or what is it that makes it attractive to investors?
I think it's untapped potential within the league. Plus, we're one of the leagues in Europe that can qualify for European football. With European football, as we well know, you get into the group stages of the European competition, there's a significant funding comes along with that. And to qualify for, winning leagues gets you into those. It's not what you actually get for winning the league locally, but it gets you into prestige tournament like the Champions League qualifiers, where you can be lucky enough and get the luck of the draw and go through a round or two. And as we know, that can be very, very financially rewarding. So that's one of the things. But also, I think if we can get this league into a better coefficiency within the Europa or within UEFA, that also brings significant funding with it as well in relation to solidarity payments that we get. I think we are 40 at the moment. I could be wrong on that. I should know. But I think we were 45. We could be early 40s, if not 40. But we want to break in to the top 40. And with that will come significant funding. So that is someone looking in from the outside. There's potential investment there. Plus, there's bigger revenue streams. There's lots of things that can be helped with outside investment. There's community aspect of the football club. There's advertising. There's marketing. There's a lot of untapped potential. Plus, player trading. We're sitting here with lots of young lads. And the best thing I can say is, in my time at the club, like the likes of Brad making his international debut in the week ahead. Or so we things he got there. Player trading is very, very valuable to football going forward.
Johnny,
so those are all different aspects that I can personally see from an outside looking in, that there is potential within our league to invest in something at the right price, and hopefully maybe further down the line some bigger company comes along and we're at a different level, because we're currently at a different level now than we were 10 years ago. From a club's point of view, turnover point of view, player trading point of view. So all of those things have gone up significantly.
I was going to say and ask Johnny, I mean, you've been a fan of Korean probably since you could walk, you followed the club. You're involved in the media side of things as well as being a supporter. You've obviously been watching on like the rest of us. What's your reaction to what has happened? Obviously, you've been keeping everybody informed as what the developments have been over the past number of weeks and months. And I'm just wondering, now that the vote was taken and everything seems to be going ahead, just get your feelings on it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been. I think it's a great thing, to be perfectly honest. And I'm not just saying that because Colin's on. I've always been reiterating that. I think Korean were just at a crossroads where Understand how you are and had they cut losses, or you know, you seek outside investment and try to push on and try and stick with the Larns and the Lymphies and the Glentorns. And I'm just referencing again what Garth Clements said last week about how Corian is in a much better position in terms of the infrastructure, the fans, and everything else, and probably what Larn was back at the stage when Kenny took over. So, and then you look at obviously what they've gone on and done. So, look, I think. And Colin rightly said it as well there, that off the pitch, I think the club has went really, really well in the last 5-6 years with everything, with marketing, with commercial wise and everyone else. And if we can get a bit more expertise and stuff and that there, and people dedicate it for more time, and obviously with probably more players going full-time as well, you'll be able to maybe, you know, as Colin said, player trading as well. So I just think it's the way football's going as well. You look, you know, the league, it's probably where the league's going to go to. And so, I think it's definitely to be welcomed. And it just seems mad that, you know, Corian could potentially this time next year be full time. And it's just a wee bit surreal as well, I think, when you strip it all down.
And the vote itself, Johnny, I think I read 85% of those eligible to vote did vote positively. I mean, that's quite an overwhelming number in support, isn't it? And I suppose that's important for the club going forward, knowing that there's a bulwark of supporters that probably are behind it.
That's it. And, you know, the Friends of Corian was formed after, you know, financial mishaps before, and the members aren't going to sign off on anything that they feel won't support the club and financially as well. And the board would have done everything they can as well, you know, to check everything before putting the proposal to the Friends. So, no, in terms of that there, I've literally, you know, there's no worries on that end from my account too. And it's just a very, very exciting time as well. And, you know, we know Orne's produced miracles with a full-time squad, and I'm sure he'll be looking forward, you know, whenever the time comes, to go full time and see how things progress.
And Colin, the two guys involved in the investment, shall we say, both I believe are from Corian as well. Did that have an influence as well on the decision of the club and the Friends, knowing that the guys are representing the investors have an affinity with the area, if not maybe the club in the past, but certainly with Corian and the North Coast area, that would have been important.
Very important. I think, to be honest with you, it was one of the main factors that the board looked upon. That's not being disrespectful to Michael, who is also very, very keen on the club. And there were different types of investments strategies. However, having said that, the two guys are from Corian originally. They seem to just strike a chord with what we have been trying to do, and they really wanted to continue along the pathway that we had set and the vision we have for the club. And it's just one of those moments where you think, yeah, this is possible, we can do this. From my own personal point of view, last night, to be very clear about this, last night was momentous in a number of very different ways. But having said that, it's the first hurdle in many hurdles that we have to clear before the club becomes somebody else's. We have to be very clear about that, because this is a two-way street. It's a two-way deal. We as a football club, it has to be right when we see more detailed structure in relation to the deal that we are being entrusted to deliver on behalf of the Friends or the fans of Corian Football Club. And that will be likewise for the investors as well, Damien, because they will need to see everything that we have. And the two, we have to get a common ground, and there'll be many hurdles to pass through. But I think in answering your questions, I think the locality of the people, the knowledge of the area, they've been away from here 40 years, I believe. They've been successful in their own lives in London, but they still have an affinity to the area. And with that comes, a togetherness that we felt that this would be a better fit rather than the international fit that Michael was bringing.
And you mentioned, obviously, this is only the first step, if you like. There's plenty of, you know, road to go down before everything happens. And you will get fans and supporters, I suppose. Johnny had sort of referenced, you know, previous times, you know, maybe the club was in a bit of financial trouble and stuff. And there will be guys and supporters out there that maybe have certain reservations about any takeover and investment and whatever. What would you say to those supporters maybe who do have reservations? I mean, is it a case of, you know, trusting you, trusting the management, the board and everybody else and the investors to do the right thing and to get it right?
I think it's good and it's healthy that people are questioning the decisions. I think that's the first thing we need to be questioned, because if everybody was saying yes, 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 you know, you need to look at all the different angles that's out there. Now, we have a board. As a board, we took advice. We done our due diligence, and we have now looked at the bigger picture. I would say to the people who, and I would agree with that, we will put certain things into this contract as and when it becomes down to the very small detail. We as a football club will be protecting the football club. At the outset, and how this has all came about is what, when we were approached, we had already started looking. We went down the road a long way of looking at full time and what it would take to turn the club full time down a period over a period of time. We had figures that are now outdated, and that's how this is all based on. That doesn't say that's it and that's everything. That's all you're getting, because that wouldn't be true. We will put certain things into a contract from our side of the game, or our side of the board, that will protect the football club. And I can reassure people that that will be the way we go about this. We will not sell our soul. It's not what this is about. This is about the greater good of football within our town and community, and we will look for the betterment of everybody in this here. And also, we will protect the club, but the investment has to be a two-way street, or else we wouldn't have external investment. We welcome it, we look forward to it, and we will do our best to ensure that we deliver it the best way we possibly can for the betterment of everyone.
Colin, the reported number has been 2 million. Whether that's true or not, who knows, but a few fans have said that might not be enough over 5 years. What would your...
Well, I think we haven't got the fine detail in relation to it, Johnny, and I think that was probably widely reported in one of the national press documents or papers. I'm not sure that figure is 100% correct, and I struggle to find that it would be enough to turn a football club full-time. It's not that we are saying to all our current turnover and all our market and rent revenues and all our income, go away, we're going to run with 500,000 per annum. That's not what it is. If you look at what we're talking about in relation to what it currently runs the club, this is a cash injection on top of that. Now, could we have shown a shortfall if we were to turn, go like a hybrid model, we've shown a shortfall in how we would go about doing that. This cash injection would help that. Hopefully, as we do every year, we set out looking at European football and the qualification that comes with that, or the finances that comes with qualification for that. If we can get that, we're into £1 million. Add in your additional revenue streams, add in your solidarity uplift, add in your, you look at cups, you look at other ways you can expand your revenue income, and it starts to add up to a significant number that it makes this achievable. Now, is that the model that you should set your business on, i.e. football clubs on? No, it's not. You should never set out and say, we're going to qualify for Europe, because what happens if you sign players in the European budget and you don't qualify for Europe? You're in trouble. So this is additional revenue, and what the investors, without going into too much detail, because it's not in the public domain, it will be as and when required, Johnny, that we will be looking to add additional revenues to the budget to ensure that our demands are met. So yes, 2 million figure has been put out there, but I don't see that as being enough to turn us full time over 5 years.
Yeah, and final question for me. Obviously, I know you and Oran are very close in terms of signing players and players' contracts and things. And how difficult has the summer been? Because obviously, this has been brewing in the background, and you just don't know if a player can maybe go full time or he has to stay part. How difficult or have you found that?
The question that was asked today, and it's been difficult from Oran's perspective, because you're giving him a directive to go that we. The bottom line is we're saying we could be going full-time. And then because last night we kind of went there and the vote went against us, we're not going or we're not even targeting it. We have to look at a different avenue. So before that, it's very difficult to go and talk to players and say, come and play for us because we're going to go full-time or we're going to go hybrid over the next year to 18 months. And I think Oran has found that quite difficult. And we've been having conversation with players in a roundabout way to say, look, we could possibly be doing this. That's not what players want to hear. They want hard, fast, guaranteed, 3-year, 2-year contracts. I can write, okay, I'm going to be a full-time footballer in a year's time, or I'm not. And we couldn't give them that, Johnny. And it has been difficult from that point of view. The ideal scenario for us was, we had this done, money in the bank, and then went and spoke to about 10 players. That's your ideal scenario, because before it broke, and the bottom line is the clubs wouldn't have been looking for more money, the players wouldn't have been looking for money. You know how it is. It's but things never work out as you plan, do they?
That's the problem then, when opposition and rival clubs know that you have money now, then that changes things, doesn't it? Because it's like across the water, or even here, if say somebody gets a lot of money for a player and then they go to try and replace that player, the other clubs know that they're sitting with a bit of money and they'll put their prices up. And I mean, do you foresee that happening? The fact that maybe people looking in now think, oh, Corian or Quid's in, and we'll start trying to screw them for a bit more when it comes to trying to get players.
Yeah, I mean, that happens in any walk of life. Not only in football, and it's certainly a mindset that, look, okay, you try the best. You get the what I would say is you go try and get the best price for a player that you have. But if you're aware that I think that has sort of came to Irish League already, where the likes of Larne, who have gone to Irish League clubs looking for players, I've been asked silly prices, and also by the players themselves and their agents out of state. And they have deliberately went outside the league and have brought players in from outside the league who have brought value to the league, simply because there's a demand that they're going to play. But within the Irish League, there's the culture that, you know, get as much as we can while we can. I think we need to look at the long-term future of the league as much as anything, albeit that the money's staying within the league. I've heard that said previously. You might think that's a bit contradictory when they signed Lee for 100k, recorded 100k from Portadown at the time. But look, everything's relevant, and I think that clubs will certainly up their prices if you think you have more money in the bank. There's no doubting of that.
Johnny had brought up the issue about Oran, the manager, and contract situations with players during the summer. Does the fact that, in principle, this investment has been accepted, does that change the parameters for Oran and the management now going forward in terms of what contracts they can offer current players or going and getting new players? Does that give him a little bit more freedom, if you like?
It does, and we have to look at this, and whenever this was first muted between ourselves and the myself and Oran, I mean, we sat down and we looked at it and we said, look, Oran, this is giving you a different market to shop in. You're now looking at a different type of a player that, you know, will need accommodation. You know, you're going to have to provide all the strength and conditioning, everything that comes with being a full-time football club. But it also gives you the option to look at players that you would not have looked at. And Aaron and I know I've spoken to you guys in the past about probably shopping in the market that the Belfast clubs, you know, the bigger clubs in Belfast don't want. And so we're going to have to try and get their better players and try and get the best out of them. So this should allow Aaron to go into that another market to say, well, look, I can look at outside the UK or outside Northern Ireland and try and bring young people into our league to enhance our team, but also make the league a better place to be. So with that comes additional costs in relation to accommodation and everything that comes with it, relocation. So that in itself is a big thing, Damien, but it certainly gives Oran a new area to shop in. And hopefully, and we have been exploring them, but the way the summer has gone, when we first spoke about this here, we thought this would have been done at the start of the summer, which would have given us a good way to go through. But the way the club were is still owned with the Friends Korean and the share issue and so forth, we had to give the people, i.e. the fans and the members of Korean FC Friends, the opportunity to absorb this, to have their meetings, and that we would then, you know, correspond with them, culminating in last night's vote. And I think it was a proper due process that we followed, because nobody can say they weren't given a chance to comment and come back on this, you know, in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, or 2 years' time, because we have followed a good process. So, look, if somebody has ran away from us, is it going to happen? You know, gives Oran, I do know he has a scouting network out and about looking for January this time next year windows, looking at the possibility of bringing different types of players in. But also we have to be very careful of the players that we have in contract at this moment in time, because we have to ensure that those people are happy with the way we're intending to bring the club. And we have to be honourable to everyone at the football club. And I think everyone's receptive to the plans that we currently have. And I mean, I don't mean everyone. I mean everyone within the actual playing staff at this moment in time and backroom staff. There were those that will suit, and there'll be those that won't suit. And look, that's it.
Well, timeline-wise, I mean, obviously the meeting was on Tuesday night of this week. The different legal teams will go away and look at the fine details and look at the small print, etc. So say everything is agreed, etc., etc. Can you put a time frame on, you know, we mentioned the £2 million, say it's not £2 million, but whatever the investment is, mm-hmm. when would you envisage that starting to have an impact in and around the club, and even maybe specifically in terms of the playing side of things as well? Would it be a case that things could start changing in January, or is it more realistic next summer with a view to the following season?
I think it's realistic that we could start seeing a transition in the January period. And we obviously have to have a structured, phased approach to this here. It's not going to happen. If you had X amount of millions tomorrow, you could not go full-time. It's just not possible for the club to go full-time at this moment in time. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the structures in place. We need to ensure we have got all our backroom team or medics or catering staff or, you know, everything that comes with running a full-time operation. I would believe that it will take at least 2 months. Who knows, it could be done quicker. Who knows, it can take longer for the legals to be sorted out. And once both sides have everything sorted out, then I don't know what deal, because it hasn't been discussed as yet in person. In the interim, if something comes about, what do we do? Can we go and proceed with the financial aspect of that and make approaches for players out of contract, for example, who may not have signed already, who are outside the window, who have no contract? You know, these are things that we have to have the discussion with the investors. That's the next step as far as I'm concerned. Next step for me is, let's set a process in place that we would like to see happening within the next 3, 6, 9, 12 to 18 months. And let's look at it and you know, we'll know better as we tick each, you know, period off. Have we done that? Let's set targets with those there, and then we can move as a club together and bring people in as we need to. One of the big things for me, Damien, is we need to have, I need to be careful what I say here, a chief executive, for example. The board are all working people. We do have some part-time staff who are there, but to deliver this project needs someone with experience, not only in business, but experience in the sporting field, who has dealt with certain types of transition. Within any business, there's transition, but in the sporting industry, at sometimes it can be quite difficult. There's budgets to maintain in relation to playing budgets. We're talking about increasing playing budgets. We're talking about adding catering facilities. We're adding, you know, adding a chief executive to that as well. And I think that's the foundation. We need to build that foundation to take us to the next level. That's off the pitch. And on this, the playing aspect side of things, Oran and his team are delegated the authority on behalf of the board, and we trust them. There's your budget. You're going to get X in your budget more. Go and do as you please. Not as what you please. It's up to him. If he decides to sign one player for X amount of pounds and spend it all on one player, that's Oran's. He has to live with that or die by it. That's the nature of the business. But we as a board give Oran total authority to deal with that there. And him and I, obviously, as you know, speak quite a lot about it. But it's where we would like to be in a year's time. This time next year, we'd like to be, my own personal opinion would be, we'd like to be in the transitional period, but a good three quarters way through it to the full-time model, which is going to be difficult because you have players in 2 years contracts who are still teachers and whatever else. So you still have to honour those contracts. And plus, you can't just go, I'll tell you what, guys, there's five players away at the door. Bring me five young lads that want to play football and want to go full-time, because that's the way this will happen.
Yeah, what about those? I mean, it's a question that comes up quite regularly. Those players who maybe cannot commit to full-time player or football, but maybe are integral members of the first team squad. Will there be, like, even initially, like a hybrid model, if you like, to help ease that transition? Because it'd be very difficult, for example, to say to some players who are important members of the squad, just because maybe you're going full-time, that you can't have them around anymore. That would be, I can't imagine that would be the way that you and Oran and the club would want to be going.
Yeah, well, that'll not be the way that'll happen. There'll always be people that will not suit, who are very, very much an integral part of the team, be it the first team, second team, or backroom team. And it'll obviously, we'll always find a place for that. Those individuals who are integral to what we're currently doing. And that's not to say that further down the line, when we do come along here, if such and such a player comes along, that they can't be accommodated within our current, with it, or within our new proposed system, I should say. So yeah, it'll take a phase of time for that to feed through, Damien, but we'll certainly be looking to accommodate everyone.
Yeah, well, Johnny, I think that's reassuring, because you and I know that, you know, supporters would bring that up and say that maybe the full time doesn't suit everybody, and there are players that have occupations or careers that couldn't commit to it. So I guess it's reassuring to hear the chairman say that the accommodations will be made where possible.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, for example, like the first player enters my head is probably Stephen Lowry or Stephen O'Donnell. You know, for example, those guys, I'm sure, they've good jobs outside of football. So, you know, the greatest mind respect, the Stevie probably maybe has a year left, 2 years left in football. So, you know, it'd be a pretty mad decision for him to give that up. They become a full-time footballer for a year. So, no, look, Linfield done it for the last couple of years there with Jimmy Callagher. I think both of them probably reached the stage where Linfield's project was probably further on down the line than you know, maybe to cater for Jimmy. But they done that for maybe 2-3 years, and, you know, he was a cornerstone of all our success. So no, listen, it's great to hear that, obviously. You know, and if a good player, you know, if one of Oran's main men can't go full time, but he's still there, and Oran trusts them away from the football, they do everything that he would do anyway. Well, then sure, you know, it's a no brainer to keep them on.
Well, Johnny, just with the investment and the playing and everything else, you know, I lost Colin as well, but it ramps up the pressure on the management and the playing staff too, doesn't it? Because with the investment, with the higher profile, with full time, if you like, whatever it may be, and the investment, those guys that are investing will want some form of return, I'm sure, on whatever it is they're putting into the club. That means, I suppose, success on the pitch, whether that be through the league or through cup wins or whatever. So whilst it's always very good to get investment, it sharpens up the pressure on the playing side of things, Johnny, doesn't it?
Yes and no, to an extent, because I would say that there still is pressure now. You know, at the end of the day, there's only 3-4 teams can qualify for Europe, whether co-ed or part-time or full-time, and that's obviously the goal, regardless of the status of the club. So, but yes, I know everyone's going to say, you know, for example, you know, everyone says now Lauren, Glentoran and Lampfield should be the top three because they're full-time. Yeah, I totally get your argument, but I would still say that there still is a lot of pressure. You know, Orn nearly can't win, you know, if he loses a couple of games, it's Orn out and stuff. You know, people, you know, I see Colin smiling there because he, you know, that sort of way. So, but I still think there'll be pressure no matter what status there is. It's football at the end of the day, and it's also a business as well. So, but yes, and they not sit in the fence with your question, the yes and no would be my argument.
And as the chairman, Colin, you're always looking, and a businessman, you're always looking for results, aren't you?
Yeah, we look for results. There's no doubt in that. Results in the football business means winning games of football. And when you're not winning games of football, that in itself brings pressure. But there's nobody puts himself under more pressure than Orn puts himself under. Even when we are winning games of football, as you guys know, talking to him, there's always looking for that little bit more. They're always looking for that small percentage of where we can get a different angle at the game, or who we're playing next, or what player we can get. So those conversations go all the time, and I've no doubt in that, you know, whenever you're not winning, none of us are great company to be around. And there's no disrespect to last Friday night, Duncannon, who I thought played well, and a lovely ground and great pitch and everything else, but it was a long drive back down the road again. I had a few of those coming back from Ballinamullard in the early days, and I can tell you, it just felt like it the other Friday night, but that in itself brings pressure. So, Orn and I speak about it, and he did ring me on Friday night, and it's you can see he was hurting, and I'm sure he wasn't good company over the weekend.
And I mean, but that's the nature of sport, isn't it? I mean, we were all like, you know, we'll go back over 2-0 up into added time. You can see, I mean, it felt like a defeat. Yes, it was a draw, but it certainly felt like a defeat from where I was. And but it just shows you, no matter what it is, and you can put in as much investment as you like. Yeah. When it comes to sport, there are no guarantees. And we all seen it on Sunday, Newcastle and Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Newcastle 1-0 up against 10 men. Liverpool scored twice in that at time or whatever it was to win. And it just shows you there are. And that's probably the same as what any investment, Colin. There are no guarantees.
No, and this is one of the things that the investors have been quite open about, Damien. They've been very open about it. Like, you know, this is about doing one of the things that Ranulph has said to myself and openly to the meeting at the EGM was, this is about doing good for the community. He's been fortunate enough that he has been successful that he can do this. This is about doing good for the community, having fun and making a return somewhere along the line. Because if he's doing good and he's having fun, we're obviously winning, and with that, we'll bring rewards. So it should enhance the club. Now, I keep saying this, and listen, it's hard in the aftermath of whenever you get the last minute equalizer or winner against you or whatever else. It's hard to remember the good days, but whenever they flash up on your phone and you look at the Irish Cup, you know, I see Skinner's comments in one of the papers there quite recently in relation to probably the outstanding moment of his career, and he you know, that last, that goal for Corian, last few minutes, chipped the goalkeeper. You know, those are the things that go, yeah, I want more of that. And that's what keeps you going. And that's what we should always remember. There are good days. We've had some great days. You have to bear in mind that we finished second, I believe, 3 years. And you know, we aren't a club that has fallen away that badly. It's just that, Damien, where I see it is, other clubs have become more professional. They've gone after different players. It's not that we haven't. We just happen to have the resources, and this is what the investment brings with it. And we may be able to get that two players, because we're not a million miles away, as we've shown. Yeah, Carrick defeat, you might turn around and say, well, hold on a wee minute here. But here, look at Carrick on Saturday. This is the unpredictability of this league that we play in. Yes, they get turned over to be Crusaders, but on another night, it could have been different. It could have been a difficult draw. And that's the way this league, I believe, is going to go. And if we can just keep going there with better players, add better players to it, we're not far away, Dana. And that's
it's certainly fine margins. I was thinking there when we were talking earlier, like there's different investment. You know, Carrick Rangers obviously got an investment as well, and we've talked about the others. I'm just thinking, Corian, where it is geographically and location wise. It's the senior club in quite a big catchment area. It's on the north coast. You've got obviously Port Rush, Port Stewart, Royal Port Rush, the Open. You've got all that on your doorstep. And I'm guessing, in addition to the footballing side of things, I guess that's quite an attractive thing for potential or would-be investors calling. On top of the football aspect, you're the gateway to the north coast, Port Rush, Port Stewart, etc. That must be a good selling point for going forward.
Well, as you know, the Northwest Regional Stadium with the showgrounds, as we talked about for the levelling up bid, was a fantastic bid and went a long way. And part of that was built on what you've just said. This is the gateway to the North Coast. We've got the best golf, one of the best golf courses, or some of the best golf courses in UK, if not the world. We've got Bushmills Distillery. We've got the great beaches. We've got everything that comes with it. We've got a great university with a great accommodation. We've got new hotels. If we can add facility to our ground, we strategically placed are in a fantastic location. And that's what the bid for the levelling up fund was more about. This was about the area, as much as, yes, it would have benefited the football club, but it would have benefited the complete area, not only Corian Town. And we could have used this as like a training base that clubs, for example, go to Marbella and train in Marbella. But clubs that don't have that finances, which clubs came over then, Airdrie played here or trained here this year, for example, clubs of that, we can open up this completely to a different market. And part of that is all part of the marketing strategy and review that the club are looking at. And from a player perspective, if I was a player in, I'm not, some of these other parts of the world, I know where I'd want to play my football. I know where I'd want to live at. And if you were getting game time, playing full time, listen, you couldn't be in a better place. And if we can just add the facility to that there. And from an investment point of view, that is what we have to look at as a club. But as investors, we need to look where we are. If we can get the sub-regional, if we can get these other funds that has been widely talked about, we're in a very good place because, Damon, Johnny, look at the club now compared to it was 10 years ago. Look at the club to where it was 5 years ago. It's unrecognisable, you know, and that's through no short term, I can tell you, of overnight just happening out of the blue. That took a lot of hard work, but it took a lot of hard work with an awful lot of people and an awful lot of volunteers all buying into the product and the project that we had happening. And from an investor's point of view, why would you not want to invest in something like that there? Because there's great potential. And add the footballing aspect to that as well.
Massive.
It's massive. And that's how I see it personally, and I think that's obviously what these guys see as well.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, I think you and I have talked about that in the past, and if the club can only somehow get some monies to do up the stadium, that's probably the part that needs attention to you, isn't it? And yes, the levelling up fund application wasn't successful on this occasion. Colin mentioned the sub-regional funding. That needs to be released. That needs to come out to the clubs, because if the money was there and the showgrounds got a bit of an injection of cash and a facelift, et cetera, et cetera, that would certainly take things to a whole different level too, wouldn't it?
No, we're doing, and you know, it'd be something that we could be, you'd be extremely proud of. And you know, when you see the packed stadium, and I think, is it the shed end, maybe is it half cut off now? Could you imagine if you really get a full capacity in there too, and in different areas, and even get a roof over it, and on all different plans? So no, yeah, opening up, like, not only that, but you do families, you know, better facilities for families going, and different things like that there. So no, it would be fantastic. And it'd be the hub in the middle of Korean, and it'd be bouncing, not only for football. You know, you could have a cafe in it, and people come in just off the street. You'd have training there as well. And I think there's planning permission, is it, for the back pitch now as well. So mm-hmm. You know, whether or not you'd have a hub even there, you know, and things like that. So where Korean Football Club is actually based as well, it's in the perfect centre of Korean. It's in the middle of the town. So as well. So no, I think obviously, look, if the club go full time and the investment's in, I do think the ground would be probably the last piece of the jigsaw, and it would be fantastic. It would just be.
Yeah. Could you imagine, right? I'm just looking ahead now, Colin, for example, to Saturday. We've got Linfield visiting the showgrounds on Saturday. I think, you know, in previous times, there's been a restriction on the number of supporters that can attend those kind of games because of the ground capacity as it is at the moment. And I suppose that sharpens the mind to that argument of trying to improve the ground, because a better ground and better facilities and more accommodation for fans gets a bigger crowd in. So you're not actually turning visitors or spectators away on a day such as Saturday, which promises to be a massive, massive game.
Yes, hopefully it is, David. Hopefully there are a good crowd that turns up, because I think both teams will be wanting to win that one. There's no doubting of that after their most recent result. And it'll only add to it. But you're absolutely right. And listen, this brings me back to an age-old argument of our stadium. And we have a great team working in the background and have done now for the last 2 years that are pulling together our development committee led by David Boyd and Bobby Farham, who are doing exceptional work behind the scenes, believe you me. And they do an awful lot of stuff that nobody sees about. But that is what we're trying to do. And that's one of the main arguments, that nobody wants to turn anybody away from Korean Football Club, and it shouldn't happen, because we want the facility to be welcoming to everyone. We want our facility upgrades, toilet systems, you know, good seating, family areas, disabled areas, good standing, safe seating. We want all of that there, and it's all included in our document. And that's why the sub-regional, to me, is vital. And I do believe it will come, Damien. And I sincerely hope, but I know we are, as such at this moment in time, should it become ready, we are spade ready. That is one thing that I would say. And that's the good thing that has come out of the levelling up fund for Korean Football Club is very clear. Whilst we didn't get it, it left us spade ready for other projects. We have outline planning. We're ready to go. There's a couple of smaller matters that probably holding us back, but that those we could identify very easily. Plus, another thing, Damien, I would love to say, and I'm a big fan of it, a change of season would also bring ladies, more families, and I would love to see that happening within our league. And I can't wait to see that day, because it will benefit all our teams. And hopefully we're one of them going forward in European football when we're going in against teams that aren't into 18 games into their league, and we're playing our first competitive game against a team in European competition. So I think that will benefit us all. And I refer back to what I said earlier in relation to the solidarity and our coefficiency. Because if you go through more in Europe, that increases your brings you higher up the coefficiency standings, which in turn brings more money into the league for all of the league, not just for one club, but for all of the league. So, listen, all that put together, we certainly need sub-regional coming out. I do believe it will. Casement, I believe, is going to start soon, hopefully, for the Euro 2028, I think it is. So hopefully we get our sub-regional release around the same time and we can all get funding put into sport, because it's all about getting people involved and getting people facilities that they're proud of.
I mean, Johnny, it's when you hear that from Colin, it's taken in the round, it is kind of almost the start of a new era here, really, for the club and for almost the Irish League as well. I mean, you're talking about potentially full-time football at Corian in maybe 12 to 18 months with a fair wind, maybe get an upgrade to the stadium, all those things, maybe even summer football, as Colin's advocating there as well. I mean, when you take it all together, it's potentially a whole new year for Irish League football and for Corian Football Club.
Yeah, for Corian especially, you know, you add all that in, a good team on the pitch, selling crowds, regular season ticket sales, there's never a match that isn't sponsored, there's Clement uses about 1,000 mascots booked, the social club always seems to have people in the upstairs and downstairs bars, you know, it's just ready to boom. It's like having a firework and you're just ready to light it and you're just ready to put it in the end and it's just ready to go off. And that's how I would probably describe things at the minute for Corian. And so, no, yeah, it's an exciting time. I think we're very, very lucky to be in this sort of era and to be involved with it as how close we are. And yeah, it's going to be obviously proud times and hopefully things can get sorted. It just all seems surreal. And, you know, in 5 years, you know, plastic ball, or you know, or you can see into the future, a crystal ball, and see into the future, and what it'll be like in 5 years, it'd be very, very interesting. But I'm sure if you were sitting in the showgrounds in 2018 or whatever, after you won the Irish Cup, and you had a crystal ball, and you could see the synthetic surface and the scoreboard up, and a vote to go full time, you'd be thinking, "Craig, you on mushrooms or something." So it's one, you know, it's just one of the things that's very, very exciting to be a part of, and
it is.
You just want it to sort of happen now and get on with things, you know.
Certainly, certainly exciting times. And just we'll finish off, guys, because I know, Colin, you're a busy man in demand this weather. You have another interview to go to. Just on the match on Saturday, Johnny, Colin referenced that there, you know, Linfield drew with Carrick Rangers in midweek. Corian obviously threw away 2 points in their last outing as well. Plenty to play for. How do you see it going? I mean, I'm looking back. Off the top of my head, last year, games between Corian and Linfield, there was never too many goals in them from memory.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first three were nearly 0-0s. And then I think they beat us in the last three, won the league and won the cup and the other one in the league. So, yeah, I was just about to say that. I think there'll be goals in this one because there hasn't been goals in any of these games in a long time. I think Linfield are maybe conceding a few more than they have been. But then I suppose maybe you Fitzy up front and Joel Cooper and Chris McKee and guys like that, you know, they're always dangerous at the other end. So, yeah, I know David Healy was down at the match on Friday night watching us. And I don't think Warren was at Windsor. I think he said he was football sick. And that was his message to me. That was his message to me on Saturday. So, but yeah, no, listen, be a good crowd at it. London's testimonial as well. So a few guys might start a few beers early. So it could be a bit of singing and everyone going. So, but yeah, no, it's promised to be a good day, and I would just love us. I think momentum-wise, it would just be great to pick up a win. I think it would get, especially after the week we've had too, I think it would just pull everyone together, a good performance as well, and see where things go.
Certainly 3 points, Colin, on Saturday would be a fitting end to what's been a positive week for the club.
Certainly will, Damien, and I'm just looking at the dairy here, maybe getting another player or two in or something like that would certainly help. But no, all the irons are in the fire at this moment in time. But this late in the window, it's always difficult, Damien, to get the right player in. And there's no point signing somebody just for the sake of signing somebody or to get to put bodies in. And Oran's very clear about that. But listen, Saturday will be difficult. It'll hopefully be a good occasion, as Johnny has just said. Young Lyndon getting a testimonial dinner. It would be fitting for him to have the 3 points tucked up, and he can enjoy his evening. So we'll look forward to it. Hopefully there's a big crowd. Hopefully we're not talking about our referees. Hopefully we're talking about how the game has gone, and having a very entertaining game with a great atmosphere and a sellout crowd.
Tom, before you go, promise, last question. Taking away your football head, how's it been the last couple of months? Because you are a human being at the end of the day. You know, you've a family, you're a businessman as well. What's it been like adding all the probably stress of this, I suppose, would be?
Last night, to be honest with you, it seemed to lift, believe that or not, because we got to a point where this is the people making the decision. This is not a board of Coleraine. This is the people making a decision based on the information that we had supplied. And there was a bit of a relief that, this is actually going to happen, or we can actually make this happen. So from that perspective, Johnny, there was a bit of a relief. It has been tough. There's no doubt it's been tough because we've had a lot of meetings, and you're trying to also, the club still has to function on a day-to-day basis, and there's, you know, the players are coming back, the pre-season, there's kit launches, there's, you know yourself, Johnny, better than I do because, you know, you guys are heavily involved in that side of it, and the PR side and the social media side, and you know what's happening, and it is intense. But this behind the scenes now, trying to ensure, there's always a worry that you're not doing the right thing for the club. And I don't think that'll ever leave you. You know, you will always have that worry. And you're doing it for the right reasons. You know, that's one thing. I look anybody straight in the eye and say, we're doing this for the right reason.
Well, Colin, I think on behalf of probably everybody associated with Corian Football Club, I would like to thank you, you know, for all your work, diligent work over the past number of months and years, and the rest of the board and the volunteers as well, and to get us the club to that point or this point. Obviously we shall see what happens down the line, but you know, the vote has given the go ahead, so all being well, things progress nicely, and who knows where we may be when we speak again, maybe this time in 12 months time, we wait and see. So thank you on behalf of everybody at the club. Thank you for your time this evening. Because as I said, you're off to go and do another interview with somebody more high profile than me and Johnny, obviously. Johnny, again, thank you for your time as well tonight. As we were talked about, Lyndon Kane's testimonial dinner in the Lodge, or good friends in the Lodge Hotel on Saturday night after the win over Linfield. I think there might be one or two tickets left, I'm not sure, but check out all your usual outlets and we'll find out. And finally, congratulations from everybody at the club to Brad Lyons and getting his first call up to the international side as well. As many people have said on social media, long overdue. So well done, Brad, and the very best of luck going forward. Finally, thank you to everybody who takes the time to listen to the podcast. We always appreciate the feedback, good or bad, doesn't matter to us. We don't get paid, so we don't care. And thank you very much for everybody for your time. Colin, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Damien. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, you're welcome. Johnny, thank you for your time. We will see you all on Saturday, either at the match or in the Lodge Hotel. Johnny McNabb, he said he's bringing the cash, so we'll get a drink out of him on Saturday. Until then, take care and come on the Bandsiders.